Okay, we're ready.
All right, welcome everyone. This is the Cameron Park Community Services District CCNR meeting, and it's 5:32, and let's start with our call to order. Oh, that is our call to order. How about our roll call, Jill?
Director Scobie?
Here.
Director Wooten?
Here.
Bob Detta?
Present.
Kelly Cantola?
Present.
And Patricia Rivera?
Present.
Great. Let's move on to our approval of the agenda. Or anyone want to make a motion or have any comments on our agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda as presented.
I will second his motion.
Great. We have a first and a second. Let's go ahead and do a quick roll call, please, Jill.
Director Scobie?
Yes.
Director Wooten?
Yes.
Bob Detta?
Yes.
Kelly Cantola?
Here.
And Patricia Rivera?
Yes.
All right, so that passes 5-0. Moving on to our approval of conformed agenda. All right, does anyone on the committee have any corrections or comments on our conformed agenda? Okay, how about a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, I think Patricia also had spoken up there, but.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So.
You can second the motion, that's fine.
You're such a gentleman, Bob.
We like that. Okay, so we have a first and a second. Let's go ahead and roll call for that motion, please, Jill.
Director Scobie?
Yes.
Director Wooten?
Yes.
Bob Detta?
Yes.
Kelly Cantola?
Yes.
And Patricia Rivera?
Yes.
All right, our conformed agenda has been approved 5-0. Now on to open forum, and this is where we like to hear from our public, and this is where our public who has joined us can speak on any item that is not already on the agenda. So if your item's on the agenda and you have something else you'd like to address, we'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we would hear your comments under your agendized item. So if you have a non-agenda item, if you could raise your hand, you'd get the opportunity to speak.
Not seeing any hands for this item.
Okay, so moving off of our open forum and directly into our department matters, have item 6, review and support items with Jim. Going to kick us off.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Item number 6A is CCR 211012. This is for address 2843 Knollwood Drive. Mm-hmm. This was being continued from last month's agenda. So give you a background on this. I was called out by a couple of residents in the neighborhood that a non-conforming CCNR fence that is not conformed to CCNRs was being built. And once I finally received the address from the complainants, I went out to inspect and the fence was completed. The fence was built at a 20-foot setback and about almost 7 feet tall. The CCNRs for that neighborhood are a 30-foot setback, and per county code, as well as our CCNRs that are part of the county code in this instance, that no frontage fences can exceed 48 inches in height, and it must be of open construction. So therefore, we have a couple of different violations here. One, architectural approval was not obtained prior to construction of the fence. Two, the fence is built at a 20-foot setback, not at a 30-foot setback. And three, it exceeds the 48 inches for a frontage fence. Those are the violations per county code and per CCNRs. So we did review all of our options to see what could be done in order to keep either placement or height. And with both codes, we're not able to achieve that. So closing off your entire frontage is one of the things that has been detailed in all of our CCNRs that it cannot be done. You are allowed to close off your side yard. And in this case, they have two side yards that they can enclose, but it cannot continue across the frontage of the property. And that's where the problem is right now. So I'll stop right there and ask if there's any questions. No questions? Okay, so what this comes down to is, and like I said, we here with staff, we looked at all options to see what can be done to help out the homeowners. Unfortunately, based on county code as well as CCNRs, it just cannot be at 20-foot setback. That's the first problem. And the second problem, it cannot exceed 48 inches. Now, county code has a 40-inch allowance. We have a 48-inch allowance. So with that 48 inches, that's as high as you can go. Ours says open construction, and so does the county. 50% open construction, not to exceed 6 foot in overall height. That would be for the side yards. In the side yard case, though, they can close off, like for example, the trailer port for a side yard or a utility port for another side yard. They can close those off. We just cannot have closed construction over 48 inches across the frontage. So the recommendation is to have the fence removed and counsel with ARC in order to allow them to build the fences where the CCNR is allowed and allow them to keep the 6 foot where the CCNR is allowed. And that would be on both of their side yards, they can do that. Did everybody have a chance to read the report? The agenda transmittal on that?
Yes.
All right. Well, if the committee understands where we are and has no further questions, I believe our participant here is also with us. Is that our attendee, Kim? Is she our resident?
Yes, ma'am.
So if the board has, the committee has no further questions, could we go ahead and just open it up and hear from Kim? Yep, okay, so. Kim, I imagine you're here to speak, so let's hear from you.
Thank you. So Jim has been very informative. In listening to his information he provided, I did want to make sure that everyone was aware that our El Dorado County Code did sign off that everything was fine with this fence. So we do not have any violations outstanding with our county. And I am kind of curious with the side fencing. I'm sorry, what?
No, we got you, Kim. Go ahead.
Okay, got it. Sorry. The side fencing, I think, is a question that my husband and I are a little confused on, because the area where it's fenced, what Jim refers to as the front there, is actually the side of our garage. A lot of the homes that you see in this area, the driveway, you just drive straight into the garage, but that's not how this is set up. So that fenced off side is the side of the garage. So I think we're trying to understand if that setback, it's in county compliance, and if it's the side yard, are we only talking about the front section where it's where you drive in, and that would need to be dropped to the 4 feet? I think is where we're starting to have some confusion again. I know that we emailed a few pictures to Jim this last week to see if those would meet the design for our properties. We chose three properties that were in our area. And he said those homes are in compliance, but it does not, it's not okay for us, which is where I think we're a little confused. So at this time, you know, I know we also were looking at if the fence remains where it is. Our understanding is if it is, I forget the word, open, that it can remain at the 6 feet. And so that is the route we would prefer to go, which is why we chose some of the designs that we sent Jim in trying to keep that structure, because these fences were at that height and their setback was much closer to the road than even ours. So I just want to share that we are most certainly willing to work it with what this is, but I kind of feel like every time we try to get moving forward, we're just more confused about why it isn't working. So, you know, we're here to make this work and find something that we can accomplish. My understanding is the setback is okay as long as it remains 50% open, or if it's at the 48 inches. So the setback would not become a concern at that point, is our understanding.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Jim, have you sent those pictures to our board clerk? So that she can.
They are in the file. And also.
And I'd like to hear your comments on those pictures.
Yeah, first of all, as far as county is concerned, no, they do not have a permit. And it was not signed off by the county. County code enforcement did come out to the property and basically told them that the fence exceeded the height required for county allowance. And that officer asked him to kick some dirt up against it so he didn't have to cite them. I followed up with code enforcement supervisor up there, and he acknowledged that the officer that went out there did not follow through with what county code states. And county code specifically states, I believe we have it in here. County code specifically states, for fences, walls, and retaining walls, section B, front yards, fences or walls at least 50% open shall be allowed up to a height of 7 feet in both primary and second secondary setbacks, basically secondary yard is determined. Front yards, fences or walls which are less than 50% open shall not exceed 40 inches in height in the primary front yard setback. Okay. That's where this comes into play. And I reviewed that with county code enforcement supervisor, and he was in agreement that that they were led down the wrong path, even though the fence was already built, okay? God bless our county, they try to help people out, but in this case, it was bad information. Now on the other ones, the addresses that were sent to me in those photos, and I do have them up on my screen if you would like me to share. 3403 Cambridge.
Yeah, just go ahead and look at those photos. But I do want to make sure that, I mean, our mission here is to enforce our CC&Rs, not the county CC&Rs.
Not necessarily. It's the bigger brother prevails. So in this case, it does fall under county code.
Mm-hmm.
So we were an extension of county. Whatever is most strict prevails.
Right.
In these cases.
Okay, good. Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what you got for pictures.
So okay.
What I'd like to do is do a couple of things from here that we, and some of these might be familiar to you from last month. And then I'll give Jim an opportunity to share the ones that came in. So let me first off, share my screen. Okay, give me a minute. Share screen. Here. Okay, so this is a aerial view of 2483. And when Jim and I sat and talked about this, what struck me was kind of the character of the neighborhood. And there were not any in this vicinity and in this neighborhood right here, there were no other houses that had a frontage fence like that. In fact, most of them were not fenced at all if you look around in here.
And this is Cameron Park number two, just to point that out. The neighborhood is Cameron Park number two.
So let me show you some of the other photos that we showed from last time. So there's this one. And there is this one. And there is this one.
So Jill, we're only seeing the first one. That you put up?
Got it. Okay. Well, let me then stop share. And then let me pull up the next one. Hold on. Sorry.
But that one you just showed was good because that addresses her question she had about it being across her garage, but the side of her garage is also the same as the front of her house.
There's that one. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting confused as to which one I've showed you, so I apologize if I show you something twice. How's that? Is that one?
We can't see anything right now.
I do.
Well, okay. Let me try again.
How's that hiring you going of a board clerk?
I know. Okay, that one. Is that a new
one?
Got it.
That one we can see.
Okay, so you've seen three photos, right?
Yes.
Okay, those are the three that I have. I showed you the aerial. And then Jim, let me.
Can we see the first one again? I think that one is probably more
sure
to the point of what she was talking about, the garage and the opening area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, Monique?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
So because she did mention that, you know, she was needed clarification on whether that was a side yard or a front yard.
That one?
Yes.
That one. Yes.
I think that's the most telling.
So Jim, could you address that, her comment that she needed clarification on whether that side of the garage is a side yard or the front yard?
Yeah. So on the garage side, now the house itself, I believe, is set back more than 30 feet.
Because
right now where they have the existing fence is approximately 20 feet. The setbacks for.
Oh, no, you say where you were. I'm sorry,
Joe.
Oh,
I was going to show you the aerial. You want to see the aerial?
Yeah, actually, the aerial will help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'll help out a lot.
Okay. And let me.
Okay. And zoom in a little bit.
Okay. Oh, now you really asked me to do something.
You have to be nice to our board clerk.
How's that?
There we go. Okay. You can see on the frontage, the slope, and you can kind of see the rocks right there across the frontage.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much where they have the fence now. So you have two side yards. You have one along the side of the garage, and that's where you have the tractor right here. So they can still put up a 6-foot fence with the 30-foot setback that does not exceed the frontage of their garage. So they can have another side yard that would continue across the back of the garage and back of the house off of the front of their property. The fence line would be right there at the garage. Mm-hmm. It can extend to the 30-foot setback off the street. It can return to the sideline and continue around the house. On the other side, where you see the serpentine gravel in this area, the bluish gravel on the other side.
In here?
Down the other side of the lot.
This over here. Right there. Oh, here. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and again, you can bring out your trailer port or a side yard fence to the 30-foot setback with a 6-foot fence and gate that allows you to get into that side yard around to the back as well. That's the way code and CC&Rs read in order to not close off the frontage of the house. The key problem here is that we're closing off the entire property frontage except for the driveway entrance. And I think the intent down the road was to put in a gate.
So if you go back,
that's where the problem lies.
All right, if you go back to that first picture, then can you demonstrate then the gates, the portions of the gate that you're talking about? Is that more helpful? Now, I think that I understand where you're talking about where the garage is, but on the other side, on the left-hand side, are you talking about moving all that fencing that's there that comes down by those water mains, push that back and then shorten that?
It would be pushed back to their 30-foot setback, and they could turn that into a gate access left of the front door at that edge of the house.
Okay, and but also it'll have to be 48 rather than...
No, for that portion, they could have a 6-foot fence gate.
Okay.
Because that's where Cameron, when they designed these neighborhoods, wanted to have at least 10 feet around the house.
I got it.
So that they could tuck in trailers, tractors. Because you got to remember also when Cameron Park was developed, it was also a farming community. So we had a lot of agricultural equipment in yards.
So the other point would be what's on the right-hand side that is kind of at an angle coming down toward the road or toward the driveway.
Yeah, your fence line would have to stop at the garage roll-up door, and it could come out towards the street up to 30 feet from the street line to the fence.
Got it.
So is there asphalt there?
And then your gate would be at the same face plane as your garage.
So Jim, is there asphalt there? Is there a reason they can't move that fence back because there's asphalt already?
Yeah,
there?
The asphalt was put in, I think, just before the fence was.
I see. And so they would have to move their fence through the center of the asphalt area. Not the center, but 10 feet.
Yeah, it would have to be pushed back to the 30-foot setback, and it would not be able to exceed the frontage of the garage, still keeping the house area open from the street side. See what I'm saying?
I'm so sorry. May I ask a question?
First of all, the committee was trying to understand what the CCNR said. So, go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. So Jim, if those front panels were dropped to 4 feet, would the setback be okay? It's currently where those drop down right there, that's at a 25-foot setback. Would that be okay if those panels were 4 feet?
Unfortunately, because of CCNRs, I have to say no. It does specifically say a 30-foot setback. And without the committee making any other ruling, that's how I have to state it, 30-foot setback.
Is that also the case for the pictures that I submitted of those other properties?
No, they are not. Those are in different neighborhoods, Cameron Park number 13 and Deer Trail Estates. They do have a 20-foot setback and 5-foot side yards 20-foot setback and 10-foot on the sides on those properties.
So it wouldn't matter if these were open, 50% open, or at the 4 feet, the 30-foot setback is what has to stay.
And I know on the 3403 one that you sent us, that has a pool. And I know county code, when it comes to a pool, requires fencing around that pool. However, they again are not closing off their entire frontage. They're only closing off a portion of their frontage.
Okay, so if the recommendation is for removal, it would just be these four set panels that are up, that bring it back to that garage.
And then moved back to the 30-foot setback. So basically draw a line from your roll-up garage straight out towards the street. That would be one plane. And then along the street, it would have to be pushed back 30 feet to the 30-foot setback.
But I thought the side yard wasn't a 30-foot setback.
In this case, it is. I mean, so your side yard, your actual side yard is to the left of your front door, okay? With the configuration of your garage, and I hear what you're saying because you don't drive straight up into the garage, but... And because you have a 30-foot setback allowance, and because I think your house is set back more than 30 feet, I think you have room on the side of your garage up to that 30 feet to put an additional fence, gate, and give you guys some additional storage on the garage side, as well as to the left of the door side.
And so that's for any fencing, no matter what, even if we like combined a 4 foot and open fencing, it always has to be 30 feet.
It always has to be a 30 foot setback, correct.
And Jim, is a 30 foot setback from the road? Is that where the...
Yeah, it's from the street edge.
Okay. So even if it's a side yard, it's still subject to the 30 foot setback because it's from the road.
Now, I want to be clear here. The garage side is not, the side of the garage that faces the street is not necessarily considered a side yard. It's still the front of the house.
Yeah, it's still
the front. Behind the garage is a side yard. But because there's a 30-foot setback, and because we give allowances for storage along garage or side yards, because of the configuration of this, I'm saying that if you go 30-foot back towards the garage, you're still achieving your setbacks, but keep that plane with the house and the garage. Now you're keeping your frontage open. And I think we can all agree that would be acceptable.
Okay, so committee members, any further questions?
Yeah, Jim, what is the open construction piece? So I understand the setback and the height piece, but what is open construction from your perspective?
Open construction means, for example, a wrought iron fence is considered open construction where you can visually see through the fence. So 50% open construction in a case of, let's say, a 6 foot dog ear fence,
mm-hmm.
that's approximately, their width on those dog ears is approximately 3.5. If you did a dog ear every other space, that's now considered 50% open. The other part of the frontage fences is county says not to exceed 40 inches. Ours says not to exceed 48. And that's a general for all of Cameron Park as far as open construction in those setbacks. Pools do create a different scenario. So do heavily traveled intersections. And I think Monique has been she's been up against intersections with vision triangle issues. And Monique herself had to remove a fence because she was on one of those corners, as well as it didn't meet the required setbacks. So she had to take one down.
Jim, I just have a question here, just for my clarity.
Mm-hmm.
If this homeowner were to remove these 4 frontage panels and replace it with that 50% opening, keeping it 40 inches in height, that would rectify or cure any violation that exists.
30-foot setback, 50% open, not to exceed 48 inches, then it would be okay.
All right, that's all the question I have.
Okay, any further questions from the committee?
Yeah, Monique, question, just because being fairly new, my question would be is, so let's say that the committee comes together and you know, ask the homeowner to do this, and you know, it's going to cost, is there a financial piece in here that we have to consider at all, or is that not our place?
It's really not our place to evaluate. I know that in the past we try to give folks time, you know, if it's a financial hardship. I mean, our goal, Jim's goal and previous staff's goal has always been that we want to seek compliance, and we'll work with a homeowner to get them to that compliance, you know, place. Sometimes giving folks more time, you know, it is good. And then we just need to follow up on that timeline. So. But the financial piece, we do color in gray, but typically we try to see these as a black and white.
Yeah, got it. I ask only just because the cost of lumber at the moment is ridiculous. So this awesome fence here, you know, that we may be asked to move, you know, it looked like it could have been a $10,000 investment that we're asking to pull down. So I think that's kind of where my question comes from.
Right.
One point that might be helpful to you is this is a modular fence. So each panel is actually prefabricated and it's then affixed to the 4x4 posts.
Oh.
So the advantage there is if you had to remove it, I think a lot of this can be salvaged and replaced in those setback requirements that we're asking for.
Got it.
That's good to know.
Okay, any other questions from the committee? Well, I'm kind of under the impression that, you know, there is some clarity here that I think Jim and Kim and Jill and staff can, you know, nail down. I'm kind of of the opinion that we do need to uphold our CCNRs. But before I do that, I want to just give, you know, Katie, let's see, Kim, yeah, another chance if she wants to add anything else. Is there anything else, Kim, you'd want to add?
And Kim, you're muted.
Thank you. I do have a question. If there would be any available time that maybe I could reach out to our community to address the setback. I know that Jim, you know, shared that, you know, when we abide by our CCNRs, those are what our neighborhoods have. And maybe my next approach is maybe to do what our neighboring areas are, and their setbacks are 20. I would appreciate if maybe the board would consider a time. I'm not sure. I've never done this before. This is very, very new to me. And this was very expensive. And I'm just sitting here trying to like think of like how I would get the setback 10 feet into the asphalt. So I think my next request would be maybe to get some time so I can maybe see if I can address the setback issue in our zoning area. That's all. Thank you.
Jim, how many residents are in that CCNR?
Cameron Park North number 2 is one of our larger neighborhoods. As far as changing setbacks, as we know, it requires an amendment, and it requires 75% of the neighborhood to petition for an amendment on that. However, every neighborhood has different setbacks, and those are reasons for fire. Those are reasons for watershed, stuff like that. As far as timeline, I agree. It would be helpful to the homeowner to give them some time to kind of figure out a new plan. And, you know, this is a wonderful couple. They've been really, really understanding trying to get to this point. And we're doing the best we can to try and help them out within our CCNRs. So timeline, I don't have a problem with, but it cannot get too far because this particular fence project is inviting other people to do the same. And I'm going around asking a lot of people to take down fences right now. And they bring this one up as an example a lot, which is not in conformance with our CCNRs. So I didn't quite understand the question that Kim posed 100%, but what it comes down to is Cameron Park North number 2 is that neighborhood. Other neighborhoods are not going to give you a good example because they're not the same.
So Jim, what would your time frame be that you think would be reasonable to see for her to make an attempt to modify the CCNRs without inviting other, you know, issues?
So Jim, again, how many are you? 100 people?
Yeah.
200 people?
I would say more along the lines of 300 to 400 units.
So she would need to get 75%?
Yeah, I think that's pretty unlikely that's going to happen.
And even then, this is an amendment that would still have to, in my opinion, would still have to go through county in order to determine whether or not that would change watershed, whether or not that would change DOTs. improvement plans over years to come. There's a lot of factors that go into that.
Mm.
So as far as timeline is concerned, staff and I did discuss that. Jill had an idea. I definitely say that the earlier the better, because like I said, it keeps inviting more of these violations. But Jill, you had a timeline in mind. What was that again?
I think I threw out 6 months or something like that, but I understand. I couldn't see behind the fence before, but I understand that they've got pavement down too. So there's that added expense. So
it's actually asphalt, it's pavement, not asphalt.
Yeah.
Excuse me, not concrete.
It's not concrete. Yeah, no, I can see that it's back up. But I'd like, maybe what would be helpful to both Kim and staff is to get some feedback from the committee. As far as some expectations individually that or thoughts, I know it's quite a bit for all of you to absorb, about how you think that the fence might be modified, either location or construction wise, that would become something that maybe we could approve if it's not a straight black and white issue. But if we could get some feedback from you, and then what we can do is work with the homeowner to see if we can't reach agreement on some fence modifications that would meet the committee's expectations. But also you have to remember the neighborhood. We responded to a neighborhood complaint from a couple of folks. When I looked at the aerial, this is not in keeping with the neighborhood. There are not others that have a fence like this in that neighborhood. So I think that if we could hear from the committee, get some feedback from them, we can work with the homeowner. We can also figure out how many residents are in this typical CCNR, see what, if it is one of the CCNRs that allows for changes. Some of the CCNRs don't allow for changes. Some say 50-50, some say 75%. So we can track that down. And then why don't we come back next month to the committee about, one, changing the CCNRs and whether or not that is something that is a viable option or not, because I don't want to say it's a viable option if it's really not. And then also work with the homeowner to see if we can't somehow make some modifications. And the other thing to do is if we, you know, sometimes if we have a committee member work with Jim and the homeowner, that might be helpful too. So.
Okay, Monique, just a couple.
I'm going to go ahead.
May I just ask a question to the homeowner, please? Kim, just curious as to the fence that's coming down by the garage that slopes down toward your driveway. Can you just explain why you thought that you needed to do that? Was it for security purposes, or what's the purpose for these particular fences coming that close in?
So for me, when we bought the house, this was really my thing because of our small children, and the slope is it just pulls you. So for me, it was just one less thing that it kind of narrowed the scope of if toys or children started going, you know, the wrong way down the driveway, really was for me. So it was just a safety feature for children and things of that nature.
And I think that's crucial in consideration here. It's not just for the aesthetics or just for closing it up. It's for the safety of the family. So maybe that's a consideration as to when we're looking at this, as to what we can do.
Jill, I have two quick questions, and I'll be brief. Jim, from your perspective, so, I mean, I'm just, as we look at creative solutions, I'd be interested in kind of helping out here. But, I mean, if I removed the three panels that I would say are on the left side and three panels on the right side, specifically talking about the left side here, the fence that comes out to the street. So if you removed all three of those panels, including I'm calling one panel where that the beginning of a gate is as well. So those two go, that all goes, that side fence that still comes straight out. That is in, that's a setback issue still as well, correct?
So on the side fence, okay. Once you get to that 30-foot setback, it has to drop. And you see that in a lot in our community where you come out to your setbacks and then it immediately drops down to a 48 inches. And then that can go out to that extension, but it cannot exceed it on the side yard. So it can be 6 foot up to that 30 foot setback and then immediately drop down to the 48 inches with no extending across the frontage.
Got it. And then the second one, just a request from my side, Jill. I mean, from my perspective, I would love to see, you know, for next month, if Jim owned this home and he just bought it, how would he fix it from his perspective? You know, what does that look like to meet the CCNR so we know what our minimum is, and then we can kind of figure out where that middle ground is, you know, with the homeowner.
And I can actually answer that right now. In what I pointed out, 30 foot back to the side of the garage, as well as the side, if I were buying this house, granted, if I had knowledge of the CCNRs, that's what I would do, because I'm going to want to get as much closed storage area as possible. And from the left side of the door out to the frontage of the house, and they can exceed the frontage of the house on the left side up to the 30 foot setback with a gate, like if they wanted to tuck in a boat or a trailer. In this case, on the garage side, that side frontage of the garage is still considered frontage. However, under these circumstances, I would pay the allowance or a variance to allow them to still go back 30 feet from the street line to the side of their garage and put another side yard gate in that would wrap around the back of the garage. That's what I would expect as a homeowner, and that's what I would ask of my committee. And I would still be within CCNRs as well as an aesthetic standpoint from the neighborhood.
All right, guys, I need to interrupt. We have 15 minutes left in our meeting. And, you know, we all really want to work with this homeowner. That's come very clear to me. And our general manager asked for feedback, and Jim has provided a lot of information. I'm of the opinion right now that some of the feedback I wanted to say is that we do have to enforce our rules consistently throughout our community. So, at this point, I think that enough information has been provided to, I think I heard Kelly want to step up perhaps and maybe work with Jim and the homeowner. Yeah, I see him nodding his head. And maybe we can have him as one of our committee representatives work with that. And the idea of changing the CCNRs, I think is fine. I think 6 months is way too long. That gives way too much time. I think it only needs to be an assessment on whether or not it's even possible or probable. And I'm thinking 30 days just to come up if it's possible. And if our, you know, if our resident wants to come and take that on, because that's a big, big effort. And so she give her some education on how that should do it. So I guess maybe on this point, I don't know if we want to maybe kick the can down the road one more time, let Kelly get in there and, you know, really work this out and come forward once again but I do think that what we have here does need to change. It's not in character with the community, but I think it's possible that, you know, perhaps our staff and the homeowner can work together, but we do have other items on our agenda. We do need to move on. Yeah, go ahead, Ellie.
I'd like to say something. I'm wondering if there's a way we can bring back the Real Estate Association to have their meetings there in our CSD. And then with that, we could possibly welcome them and start preparing our packet, which would include the following things: the neighborhood CCNRs for that property, their property, whichever, a pamphlet on the CCNRs and why they are required for each resident, the recreation departments and the brochures and the schedules, which they'd like, a parks map with the amenities that we have, and we have many in Cameron Park, and any other information that would benefit new homeowners, so they don't have to go through what's kind of happening now. If we can get the real estate people, and since I am or have been one to, and I'm certainly not afraid to bark at them, to get them back to the CSD. So Jim has at least a shot at it, and they carry it. You know, at this point, he's getting buried with everything. Okay.
Ellie, I think that's a really good idea. Is that something perhaps we can put on a future agenda and have a report back on interfacing with our real estate community on providing, you know, being more outreach?
Perhaps. Yes, we can do that.
That'd be great.
And then going back to Monique, my last comment, and going back to an amendment, amendments are fine and we support them, you know, if the community comes together. However, they do take a lot of time. And unfortunately, whatever decision goes on this property would still have to go. Changes can happen after an amendment, but we wouldn't be able to hold up or keep the fence for a 2-year period for an amendment to process, if that's how long it would take. So that's my only point on that.
Okay, well, that would be good for Kim to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why okay. So committee, what do you say we, I would like to know how you'd want to move on. I am suggesting that we have Kelly work with Jim and our homeowner and come back. Do we want to come back again? I mean, what do you think, Jim and Jill? Should we yeah. kick the can down the road?
I think that we can come back with Kelly's work with the homeowner. We can do that. And then also we'll report back on the elements of a variance, the number of homeowners and stuff like that. And then also, in the sake of time, Jim can check in with Patricia and Bob Dutta and get some feedback from them as far as this particular project and their thoughts on fence modifications that might make it a little bit more palatable for the committee.
Kelly, do you feel I'm sorry, Kelly, do you feel comfortable by just working on this with Jim, or did you, or the two of you want any additional help? I'd be glad to do that, but I don't want to be a problem.
No, additional help is great. My plan is to hopefully, you know, come in and meet with Jim and sit down and I need to draw it myself. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'd like to see it too. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to join you.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think that's great. Patricia, hey, Bob, you want in too?
I'm not really excited to get into this deal, but okay. I would be happy to provide my feedback. Once I know what they're recommending, I'll be happy to contribute to that conversation. I don't need to actually physically show up there and do all that.
So Kelly, just let me know and we'll go from there. I think this is a really worthwhile project for us to work on with this homeowner.
That's great. And, you know, it's really hard. We don't like telling people that they have to take down fences. And we acknowledge that it's, if you don't know, and you get stuck in this situation, it's a difficult situation. And we as a committee, all of us, we feel for you, we wanna work with you. So if with the committee's agreement, we're okay with Patricia and Kelly working with the homeowner and staff and coming forward with a plan.
Yes.
That sounds good?
That's good.
Okay, I see a bunch of nodding heads. So that is what we're gonna do, folks.
And Kim, Jim will be back in touch with you on next steps.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, we still have some more items on our agenda, folks. So moving on to our monthly staff report, number 7.
Okay, 7A, open violations for the CC&R violation manager. So in your detailed report, you have one referred to legal. Two pre-legal notices were sent out this past month. Those are on your violation case detail report. Final notices, there were 3. Initial notices, we have 13. We have one variance that I think needs to be revisited. That was mentioned in our last CC&R meeting, because I think that variance timeline is up. So I need to follow up on that one. And we had one court decision, and we know that that's part of Royal Park Court. This month we had, this past month we had 14 new cases, and we had 7 cleared cases. 12 door hangs was sent out and 5 complied. And we have a total cases open of 55 for this period. Any questions on the CC&R report?
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
You said the court decision. I'm not aware of any court decision, or am I? And I've not.
Yeah, this is Royal Park Court.
And what did the court decide?
A long time ago.
This was a long time ago.
Okay, got it.
It was settled for 4 cars in the driveway, not to exceed the 4 cars in the driveway.
That's alluding to the 50 cars in the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We probably don't need to list the court
open court decision. That one. Okay. Uh-huh.
So, going on to 7B architectural review projects, we had 25 projects reviewed last month, and we had 25 projects approved. Keep in mind, I am that buffer to try and help these people get to compliance or to an application process that achieves approval. That's why you will always see a lot of projects, and the approval ratio on the projects is usually 90% to 100%. So we don't let it go to the ARC committee unless we feel it can be approved per the CC&Rs. And that's my report on CC&Rs and ARC. Staff updates, would you like me to carry that on number 8, Jill, or would you like to?
Go ahead, Monique, you want us to keep rolling?
Yeah, just keep rolling.
Keep on okay. rolling.
You already asked the committee if they had questions, right?
On the CC&Rs, and I didn't ask if there was any questions on the ARC report. Is there any questions on the ARC report?
No.
No.
Okay. Then moving on to number 8, staff updates. We have item A, CCR 20-149. This is 3808 Archwood Road. A pre-legal notice was issued on that property. You all, I believe you guys approved a pre-legal notice to be sent out. That notice was sent out. You also approved a pre-legal notice for CCR 20-1035. This is 3451 La Canada. That pre-legal notice was sent out probably about 3 weeks prior to item A's pre-legal notice. And working with the homeowner, I have seen significant improvements over there, cutting down weeds, getting out abandoned vehicles, non-operational vehicles, and cleaning up the frontage. I will be doing a final inspection the beginning of next week, because their time period on the pre-legal notice expires on the 12th. Any questions?
No.
No, that sounds very good.
Okay. Back to you, Monique.
All right. Okay, thank you. Back, item 9, we're going to have you report back on Ellie's suggestion on reaching out to realtors for CC&Rs. I think that's a great idea.
We lost Monique.
I kind of plan on reaching out for them because I know them and I've worked with them. So I thought it would be, it seems to me Jim is buried in work here. Good grief.
Yeah, and this is the, well, I call it the welcome wagon campaign, and I'm going to use when I see
the boss.
Something that I think will help us get ahead of these violations as opposed to chasing them down.
Yeah. So I guess, Ellie, maybe you and Jim can work together and bring something back.
Certainly.
Okay. So we don't have any items to item 10. We don't have any to take to the board of directors, from my understanding. And matters to and from, we still have 6. We have 4 minutes. So everyone gets 45 seconds if they want to share something. If we care to end on time.
I talked to Jim today, and we spoke for a little while, quite a little while. And he is doing a wonderful job, and he is loaded with work. I wouldn't have his job for the world. Sorry, Jim. But he's really working awfully hard for this community.
Thank you, Ellie. Other committee members, anything to share? Notes?
Yeah, Monique, just real quick, my 45 seconds. So I did meet with Mike on Jim's team this month and got the accounts that are used for the streetlights and have some new requests in around the LED upgrade program. So making some progress. PG&E has gone dark on me, no pun intended there. I am working on them. So they asked for account numbers. I provided all those account numbers. Mike did a great job giving me an overview and some documentation on that. So I really appreciate that. Hopefully more information for y'all next month.
Thank you, Kelly. Can we add that to the a future item so we don't lose track of that too?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Okay. Other board member, other committee members. Any comments to share?
I have nothing to share other than the fact that I'll yield my 45 seconds to the rest of the committee members.
You guys know I'm joking. I mean, that's okay. You know, it's just that we took a lot of our time, and very important and good time, because we do want our, you know, we want to work with our residents. So, let's see, I don't actually have anything that comes to mind immediately to share. So Patricia, you have anything?
No, I just want to compliment you and the rest of the committee on how we handled the issue with Kim. I thought that was very diplomatic, very sensitive, and shows that we really are interested in our public and our customers and our community. And I say that primarily because I've heard from some community members in my community, take it to the board and they just don't listen. No, this is a perfect example of how well we treat our customers, how well we treat our community, and how sensitive we are to the issues. And I thank you for that.
I'm glad you pulled that out. I actually am going to share with you my fence experience. So I purchased a home that had a non-compliant fence. They actually had a permit pulled at the county for this property. It's an investment property. And they had a permit pulled, approved by the county. They had to go back and forth, and it had to be cut down, and then it had to be 50% open. So that's when I purchased this home. I decided that I needed to, I wanted to close in the backyard completely, so that it would be dog friendly, and I could put my tenant could have a dog. So I was putting up a fence for my tenant, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go through the CC&R committee. So I talked to our former CC&R officer, who was Kate at the time. Mm-hmm. And she calls me up. She says, like, I'm really sorry, Monique, but the fence you currently have is not compliant. And I'm like, well, there's a permit in the county. And she says, well, on the CC&Rs, you can't have this side fence that does this, that, and the other thing. And I removed it. So it was interesting. I have to say, I do think the neighborhood looks better without it. Although, you know, once it's up, people kind of got used to it, and no one said anything to me at the time because it was put up by the previous owner. So I just kind of wanted to share that with you. I did put my product, my wood, up on next door, and I had very happy people call me, and it was gone in like a day. For that material. But I mean, Kim's material is way better than my material. My material was like, you know, 10 years old and disaster, but it still was desired. So anyway, I just want to share that with you, that, you know, a lot of people are put in difficult positions, but, you know, we do what we can. So.
Well, and I think that's really important, Kelly, for us to consider too, is that how can she recoup some of her money? And her investment in this. That, thank you very much for sharing that.
I agree.
Okay, folks, anything else before we adjourn? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and we will adjourn at 6:32 because I talked too long.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us, Kim.
Bye.